Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Mark my words. What is the date today?
I don't know.
What is the date
Friday?
Today?
Friday.
July 24th.
July 24th.
Yeah, huh?
At 9:09 Pacific.
Okay, sure.
I am going TikTok viral within the next 3 months.
Three?
I'm going to give myself some time.
So 3 months.
You're going to give yourself 90 days to become an international sensation.
In 90 days, I will be a 90-day TikTok Beyonce.
Listen, honey, better late than never. We've been keeping an eye on your TikTok account.
Oh, yeah, Daddy.
It almost went away. Trump almost canceled you.
Yeah.
He couldn't do it.
Couldn't do it. Listen. I'm going to be honest with you.
Can you let me finish your intro? This is about you, Michaela. Stop talking. You talk enough on your TikTok. Gosh, take a breather and let somebody celebrate you for a moment.
Okay.
So my partner and I have been watching your TikTok the last few days. We thought you'd hit 100,000 a couple of days ago.
Uh-huh.
We were planning balloons. We didn't want to get them. Then it slowed down. And then it came to almost a screeching halt for
okay.
a couple of days.
Hello.
So we were like, if we get her balloons, are these things, is the helium going to be out of them? Let's keep an eye on it. I'm up for work this morning. My partner's still in bed. He sends me a text. By the way, Michaela hit 100,000 followers on TikTok.
Hey, thank you so please.
You picked me up this morning and you got me a gift.
Yeah.
You got me a box of Banana Nut Crunch cereal because it's what my grandma used to get me because she was fancy.
Yeah, that's your fancy guy cereal.
Instead of me, I didn't get you anything. So I ran around my home this morning looking for something to give you. I have nothing.
Great. Perfect. Thank you so much.
But how are you feeling? Congrats, by the way.
Listen, it's so fun. To be fair, I dragged TikTok and everybody on it. Now, I only did it because I didn't know how to work it, and I was jealous of everybody. But once I learned how to do it, then I was unstoppable. And now I have 100K. It's exciting. Well, I love it.
There's a whole system to it. We could interview you about being a social influencer.
Oh, my God.
Tell
Is it
us-
me now?
Well, because
am I the guest?
You partner with somebody really talented. However, I will say this. John DiDomenico, our very own Donald J. Trump, you've been working with him doing a lot of content. You work tirelessly. I mean, I tell you, this girl drives her little butt to Las Vegas every Friday, drives back late Sunday night, and she's here bright and early to do the show in studio at 5 a.m., 5:10, 5:15, every single Monday morning ready to go, and it's paid off. He has 3 million followers.
Yeah.
You will catch him.
Yes.
But I will say his videos that have gone super viral, you're in all of them.
Well, you know what? There is a total system with TikTok. And listen, I know I'm a 32-year-old talking about TikTok, okay? But when you're in...
Honey, you're going to be cashing checks very soon from that, though.
Well,
so,
oddly enough,
that's real.
You know that to like get cast in anything now, you have to have like a huge social media following.
Of course you do.
You don't get to say.
Half of my yearly income comes from my Instagram account.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't understand that, but I'm not even kidding. At least, actually, well over half of my income comes from Instagram.
Well, and as ridiculous as it sounds, you gotta know.
Yeah.
So I finally learned, it did slow down almost to a screeching halt. And then I learned the system.
What if you go, because this has happened to me. What if all of a sudden, like, you wake up tomorrow and you're like, 99,998.
Okay, first of all, how shady, right? What if that would happen? I'd be like, 100K.
Oh, I've hit 50,000 on Instagram before. I'm at like 47,000 now. So I just don't post anymore.
Well, I feel like we have a song for this moment. Justin, do you happen to have that pulled up?
No.
The song that you
It's not your fault. It's not your fault.
The
it's
song
my
you
fault.
Just now thought of having him pull up because yeah. you were playing it for yourself over and over. So Michaela comes into studio this morning and she just plays for herself a song to celebrate mm-hmm. herself. Mm-hmm. And we all were trying to get work done and she just sat there and celebrated herself.
I'd like to thank a very special person. I don't want to do that. Oh my God, don't make me do this. I don't want to. Oh my God, okay. Honestly, okay.
Get to it.
To all the young dreamers out there who listen to Whitney Houston, who watch The Bodyguard endlessly.
You, there are a lot of young listeners who right now are like, who's Whitney Houston? That's
okay,
a
if you don't
truth.
Know who Whitney Houston is, I want you to turn this down. To the Vivians, to the Corkies, to the Roses. Thank you. Whitney, thank you. You give a five-year-old a dream, and now I'm a star. I'm unstoppable. In AJ's wise words, he once said, how does it feel to just keep retrying to be famous? And honestly, I've never felt better.
I have said that to you so many times.
Thank you, America.
You're like a cat,
you
but
finally
you have
got it right.
So many more lives. So many more. But it's not just America. TikTok is global.
The
and
world.
That's the issue. America wasn't ready for you on American Idol half a lifetime ago.
No, they were not.
16 years ago. But the world, Michaela, is ready for you. And here you are.
I just want to say that this is only 100K. Can you imagine what dramatics we're going to do when we hit a million? Like, I'm literally going to roll myself in the middle of the street. I don't know. We haven't decided yet. I'm preparing. I should do some news on the beat.
Are we doing a show today?
I don't know.
All right, take it away.
Okay, great. Also, Nina West is coming on. Speaking of stardom, your cha-cha heels. You're going to want
to
listen to that.
Way more famous than you. I can't wait.
I knew you were gonna
can't wait
say
to have
that.
Her.
All right, well, here's some serious news. In less than 10 months, coronavirus has killed more than 250. Okay, this is really serious.
That was a turn.
Should I do a lighter story? Just
okay. Maybe something.
I'm going to be honest. After 4 days of public outcry, Florida authorities released a 56-second dash cam video. This doesn't sound good either. It's probably not. Election 2020, a handful of current...
Skip the news this hour.
Children
maybe.
In the United States are on track to miss 9 million vaccines. Okay. You know what? Let's go to weather.
Let's go straight to weather because the news is
the
terrifying
weather.
Lately.
Okay, and it's not an easy transition, might I say. It will be, though.
There's oxygen in the air.
Yeah, there is.
There's a sun somewhere.
And we are not going to see it today because it is cloudy in Los Angeles.
Okay, so there's your weather. Let's just go right to vibe. We'll catch back up next hour. How about that?
Go on.
The next hour will be less about you.
Okay, great. Bob the Dick.
Here it is. Volunteers do not necessarily have the time. They just have the heart. Thanksgiving is a great time to give back. So if you're thinking about it, find a way to socially distance and to do it in a safe way next week. Find a way to give back because a lot of people, this is a hard time for many people throughout the year. So just think of others.
Absolutely. All right, you guys. Well, coming up, some of our favorite hilarious photos are kids meeting Santa for the first time. But what does that look like in 2020? And how does it affect your kids, specifically Bennett, Justin, our producer's child? We're back in 2 minutes.
Okay, people. Tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., Santa's coming to town.
Santa! Oh, my God!
Santa here? I know him. I know him.
The way he just screams at the top of his lungs.
Oh,
Will Ferrell.
It's so good.
Forever. I don't care what other films Will Ferrell does the rest of his career. He will always be known as Buddy the Elf to me. That's
it. Yeah, but also, can you imagine being on set and for the first time hearing him? I would like to do some digging
and figure out if he actually was, if that was improv or if that was written that way, because it's genius.
Honestly, they probably wrote Santa. Like, yell Santa, but the way that he just did it, I mean, bloody murder. Oh my God, I love that movie.
So one of the great traditions of America, especially, is mall Santas. Going to the mall, seeing Santa Claus, asking for what you want, starting the weekend after Thanksgiving, right?
Yeah.
Well, this year during the pandemic, things are going to be very different. We don't want these mall Santas to become super spreaders. However, it is important that they spread cheer and joy. So they are still available. Sort of. Now, this is really interesting. I'm looking through all of these articles. There are Santa Clauses who wear those plexiglass masks, Santas with an actual face mask, Santas with hand sanitizer, plexiglass walls in the malls, outdoor Santa visits. There's actually a Christmas market coming to Los Angeles, actually right down the street from where we are right now.
Oh, wow.
That is going to be turned into a whole Christmas village. But you go in like pods and sections, I guess, right, Justin? And they hold you in certain holding areas, since you will be indoors, before you actually make it to Santa. So we thought we would share some audio with you of Santa Claus himself talking about 2020 and how things might be a little bit different.
You can ask them what they'd like for Christmas. And really what's wonderful about that portal is that they'll be able to zoom in and see Santa's North Pole.
Okay, this is not Santa. This is a fraud.
Okay, so that's definitely
when
not Santa.
When did Santa, ever sound like
so
that?
So when did he come about?
He's like, hey, kids! Well, that's what he sounds
this
like.
Is what, this Santa's doing what many Santas are doing. They're virtually spending time with children.
Oh, that's so sweet.
And he says the cool thing is, and here's the thing about 2020. 2020 will go down as the year where so little was... People will try to sell so little for so much to us, meaning that... They try to sell the benefits of being able to Zoom. Well, listen, kids.
Oh, I know. I've been over Zoom since April.
Your laptop and your messy bedroom and your mom's yelling at you in the background. However, you're going to get to take a tour of the North Pole. How cool is that?
You know what they do have?
No kid wants that.
But they do have... Okay, so it is tradition. Since my nephew was 5 years old, he's now 10.
Yes.
My niece is 4, so since she's been born, we've been doing it. We go visit Santa every year, and then we walk through the friggin' light thing. It's a whole thing.
Sounds like you love it.
Love it. Love it so much.
Cherished memories.
So then what we do on Christmas Eve is me and my sister get drunk on wine, and we wrap all the presents.
Same.
And then we wake up with the kids, and it's so much fun. But what we started doing a few years ago that they love is there's an app that you can track Santa where
he is. Oh, yeah, we do that. Of course, NORAD.
Yeah. Oh, is that what it's called?
We track him every year.
So it's amazing because we've been showing my niece and nephew that for the past couple of years, and they think that that's more real than actually visiting Santa.
Because that's an actually interesting point, because listen to Santa goes on to say what kids are actually asking for this year, and it might shock you.
Some of them have asked me for, can they have a little bit more speedier Wi-Fi?
Like what?
Yeah. Because,
and that's the reality. We think of our memories with Santa and what we asked for as children and Christmas and all of those things in one context. Kids nowadays, virtual Santa is normal to them.
Well, and they're so smart.
They want
Listen,
Wi-Fi?
They know how to work the iPad better than I do. My niece is so smart, but also...
My nephew was editing videos on his iPhone at age 6, I think.
What?
Making short films.
Okay,
I had
what
no
kind
idea.
Of nephew
he's like,
do you
he's
have?
He's like, look, Uncle AJ, look what I made. I'm like, Weston, that's really cool. How'd you do that? Who did that? He's like, I looked it up on YouTube. Huh?
Oh my God, he's a genius.
Yeah.
That's so smart.
But that's how kids are nowadays.
Well, they're really smart. I will say, though, the one thing that I love the most is the embarrassing Santa photos where the child is like screaming bloody murder and then the mom
terrified.
Or dad is trying to like calm them down. And then you get a couple years of those. That is what I'm this.
You know, I was convinced for much of my life, because I've told you this, I do believe in Santa Claus, and I'm not even saying that as a joke, but I was told a secret about Santa Claus in sixth grade, and I adjusted my belief, but I still believe. But one time, the actual real Santa Claus came to my house. Might have been my Uncle Tom, might not have been, I don't know. But my cousin Jenny, he gave her a bottle of, he gave little gifts to all of us, and he gave her Care Bear bubbles that you can blow or
That's
take a bubble
cute.
Bath or something. I can't remember exactly. She screamed bloody murder for a solid 20 minutes. Like panic, hyperventilating, never got over it. Traumatized her entire life.
Well,
we just laughed at her.
Listen, for Easter this year, the kids couldn't see, my niece and nephew couldn't see the Easter bunny. So I hired our Trump's wife. Her company.
Do you know how scary Easter bunnies are?
They're terrifying. But the Easter bunny came. I showed up in front of the house. They stayed in the middle of the street. But all the kids got to see the Easter bunny. So if they can't see Santa, maybe hire a Santa or a dad can dress up this year.
Or hire an Easter bunny, get a discount.
And get, yeah.
Smart.
That
Save
would
money.
Be smart. You know what? Hire me. I have 100K on TikTok now. So I'm
You're
more famous.
You're expensive now.
All right, you guys. Well, coming up, it is Thursday. It's Friday Eve. And we're checking in. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
It's time for checking in. I don't know why I bring this up right now. How are you doing, Michaela? 100,000 followers on TikTok. Are you good?
I'm feeling good, babe. I'm feeling tired.
Same.
Yeah.
Exhausted. I was back in studio yesterday for the first time on camera. I worked
I know.
A gig. And I went there right after this, and it was fun. It's just a lot. Just the masks and the social anxiety of being around people, it's draining.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I was supposed to do a big job for Equality California, actually. And I was just telling you during the break, I was really tired on Monday. And if you don't know, like, I've been driving back and forth to Vegas every weekend, and Monday through Friday, I'm here, I'm finishing an EP, and I've been doing a bunch of, you know, sketches, so there's not been a lot of downtime. Mm-hmm. The drive alone is a lot, and this has been going on for weeks.
It's like 4 or 5 hours, depending on traffic.
Yeah. And then I drive back late Sunday night and come in here to work, and I'm good with that. I don't mind at all.
First of all, I don't know how you do it, because Sunday, I lay around the entire day, and I go to bed at 7:30 or 8.
Trust me, that's my dream. However, it benefits. We just hit 100K on TikTok. Things are happening. But I text my producer, a dear friend and producer of mine. I said, I can't come today. I'm really not feeling so good. I'm really tired and I can't come. And he was like, oh, babe, I don't know if we can do this job then because my house is on lockdown. I don't know if you can come over. Is it COVID? And I was like, it's just exhaustion.
Yeah.
I'm good. But I don't know if he's going to let me come over today.
Health toll of all of this is real. I've thought that about you when you were not feeling good the other day. I'm like, oh, God, she has COVID.
I know.
But then I thought that about myself last week when I was run down.
Yeah.
My little niece just got COVID yesterday. She was diagnosed. She's really sick in Kentucky. And she has a baby that's less than a year old. So her little baby Chelsea right now, I don't know how much time she can spend with her. I don't know if she's still like raising her as normal. I don't know the details of it all. She can't spend the holidays next week with her family. Little sister, my other niece, just turned 21. She's coming home to celebrate this weekend. Can't celebrate her birthday with her. I talked to my sister last night, and we talked about the fact that we just canceled Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like bad news on top of bad news on top of bad news. The toll that takes on your mental health.
Yeah.
Is just a lot.
Well, our producer, Justin, Bennett's going to be a year old in January. I can't even believe it.
Yeah.
How is he doing? Like, how has it been now that he's a year being a new dad with COVID? Like, how's he doing? Are you terrified?
It's interesting. You know, when we started this pandemic, he was 3 months old.
You guys started the pandemic?
Your fault?
Well, it's all our fault. Sorry, Justin. About that.
Get out.
When the pandemic started, he was 3 months old. That was when he was about to, like, be able to meet people because he had all his shots then. So he's had very
rabies.
Yeah, a lot of isolation. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, what happened is like, he's very good. He's very sweet. He's very loving. But he doesn't really have, like, he hasn't really been able to interact with a lot of kids.
Or I didn't think about
parents
that.
Or
that's
people.
True.
So
hasn't been socialized, really.
Yeah, it's hard. So, like, even when we got into this loud situation when Biden was elected and we had this big celebration at the house with just our immediate family, the loud noises freaked him out.
Did he have a meltdown?
Yeah.
Because I thought, I would assume it's not that different because I would assume my first year with a newborn, I would just be inside all the time with my kid anyways. I would think that, but the socialization aspect of it, my little sister, beautiful voice, she's singing, you've heard her sing. She's 24 years old, but she had to develop that because when she was in high school, she was maybe 15, 14 years old maybe, going into high school, and she took a choir lesson. Or like took a choir class and they tried to have her sing a high note and she couldn't do it. And then the instructor just asked her to yell at the top of her lungs and she couldn't yell never thought about it. She grew up, I have a lot of brothers and sisters. We all grew up together. And then she was sort of a surprise. She was born when I was 16 or 17.
Hmm.
And so she kind of grew up as an only child. And it turns out they looked back and they're like, when's the last time you yelled? She's like, I don't think I ever have. Her whole life.
That's
wild. We would
to
argue
me.
All the time, so yeah. Our vocal cords developed.
Yeah.
In a similar way to like Bennett would develop being around other people more often.
Exactly. In regards to the pandemic, though, because I didn't even think about this, what about the babies that when we do go back to normal life and like Lauren goes back to work and things are normal? How are the little babies going to feel? They've been with their mom and dad every single day.
That's the thing, because that's not normal to them.
Yeah,
that's going to be
tough. For many kids, millions of kids around the world only know what it's like to go to school on a computer.
Yeah,
one last thing. Lauren has had bad separation anxiety, but so has Bennett. Like, when she's had to go for work for a court case or something like that, like if she goes, he just freaks out.
It's true.
It's
super important. It's like raising a puppy, not to compare the two, but you have to mm-hmm. socialize and you have to also like teach a child what it's like to be held by different people
and
to not just cry for mommy and daddy every time.
Yep.
Bring Bennett into the studio. I will hold him like a baby.
She holds me like a baby. I'm 6'5".
I can't get enough. All right, you guys, coming up in What's Poppin'. Demi Lovato's sporting a new haircut and her ex, Max Eric, is sporting a new girl. We have all the details in What's Poppin' coming up next.
We are the new Channel Q. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. Something that's not new, though. Michaela Gordon has always been the princess of pop culture. In my mind, it is time for another round of What's Poppin', brought to you by California Psychics. Michaela, take it away.
Let's do it, honey. All right, so this is big news. Now, we knew that Demi Lovato and Max Eric were together for just a few months. They decided to quarantine together when they started dating.
Wait, they're together?
Not now, currently.
Oh, wait, they're not together?
They were together, and now it's over.
You have so much information. Continue.
Go on. Okay, so then they got engaged. The Rock was huge. Everyone thought Demi bought it herself because he makes soap money. I'm not dragging him. He makes more money than I do. But then out of nowhere, he and her broke up. And then she was kind of dragging him, and he was trying to save face, and then he started dragging her, and it was a whole thing. Well, now we have an update on both people. Demi took to the award show to sort of joke about her engagement that is no longer with Max Eric. Take a listen.
I binged 7 seasons of Pretty Little Liars, got unengaged, and then I went looking for aliens in the desert. So basically the same as everyone else.
Oh my God, that was the other night at the People's Choice Awards.
Unengaged.
Ooh.
Is that weird?
It's not quite as catchy as conscious uncoupling. What she tried to do, or whoever wrote that for her, put that in between 2 other things to try to make it funny, but it didn't quite work.
Yeah, it actually didn't read at all to me.
Her first major, major public appearance since that, so because we've all been sort of hiding.
Yeah, I guess she could have addressed it, but also she didn't have to.
Yeah.
Because it's not like they were together for years. Nobody was invested in that relationship.
Yeah, they got together during quarantine and broke up. Nobody even saw them together.
We care more about her sobriety than him.
1,000%.
However, spotted on the same beach that he proposed to Demi Lovato, Max Eric has moved on. He's kissing a new girl, and the photos are out.
Wait,
Mariah.
He's kissing her on the same beach?
Yeah.
Because just a few weeks ago, wasn't he at that beach looking sad by himself?
Crying. Okay, first of all, let's just play this, okay?
This is weird.
Demi Lovato and Max Eric go to the beach. He proposes. A few weeks later, he's on the beach with a simple trash can crying, and people called him trash. Now he's on the same beach with Mariah Angelique. She's a singer. She's 21 years old. And although their status remains unknown, they were spotted kissing together.
Well, there are so many beaches. Why can't they go to a new beach?
Or why don't you just do it in your house?
I'll tell you this. Max Eric is a little hottie. However, he's kind of losing me lately. You know this. I'm a huge fan of The Young and the Restless.
Oh, yeah.
I watched it my entire life because of my mom and my grandma. And he was on Young and the Restless. He played Fenmore. And I always said he's going to be a big star someday. Because Eva Longoria came from Young and the Restless. Eva Marcel was on there for a while. There's some big names that have been on the show that went on to do bigger things.
Uh-huh.
What's his name on This Is Us? Justin Hartley.
Yeah.
He was a regular cast member. I thought Max Eric was the next one. Until he became corny. This is also corny.
He's getting really corny. Yeah, I'm not into it. At first, I was Team Max because I thought Demi, let him off.
Yeah, and you're never going to, if you try to snap back against Demi Lovato,
it's not going
to
happen.
It's not going to, you're not going to win that.
She came back with a haircut, honey. Go to her Instagram right now. She's so fine.
I also love her curves.
Oh, yeah, her body's amazing. All right, well, this What's Poppin' is brought to you by California Psychics. And if you're a psychic, you already knew that. You can.
Is that how that works?
Yeah. You can download the app. If it's not the best reading you've ever had, it is free. I've had an amazing experience myself personally.
Yeah, you loved it.
Oh, I loved it. But I'm very into psychics. That's very much for me. And if you're not, that's okay. Because if it's not the best reading for you, then it's free. You don't even have to spend a dime. But go to californiapsychics.com. I think it's incredible. Now, coming up in our next hour, we have a lot going on, but in honor of Trans Awareness Week, the founder of Glitz joins us on the work they're doing to help our trans community when it comes to healthcare and equality. We're back in 2 minutes.
Welcome back to The Morning Beat as we celebrate Transgender Awareness Week. As a lead up to Transgender Day of Remembrance, we're so excited to have our next guest with us. Kyanne Dorshow is on the program. She is the executive director and founder of GLITS, the Gay and Lesbians Living in a Transgender Society. Thank you so much, Kyanne, for being here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Wow. Thank you. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning to
Good
you.
Morning.
So how are you doing? It's a big week. You guys just opened up a facility there in Queens out on the East Coast. We're here on the West Coast. What can you tell us about that, and how did it feel to finally open such a facility owned and run by members of the transgender community?
Overwhelming, needless to say. But surreal. The whole day was surreal. My staff took on more garbage from me than they possibly could handle. But it was wonderful to see the turnout, to see my staff living in their best elements and doing everything. I literally had very little to worry about.
Mm.
That's incredible. Well, you approach a lot of different topics, including the health and rights crisis faced by transgender sex workers, and you do it in a holistic way. Now, this is very interesting to me because people could be familiar with you. You've been heavily featured in the media and have performed on television in Showtime's Oz and for the documentaries Red Umbrella, Diaries, and Miss Major. So you've been spreading the word for a long time, but this has been an issue that's been ongoing. What do people need to know?
That we're ordinary people. Not all of us are showgirls. Not all of us get involved in sex work. Not all of us are destined to die at the age of 25. That's literally the statistics. But, you know, within the pandemic, what we've seen was a huge surge in transgender deaths.
Mm-hmm.
And this is nothing unfamiliar to my community. For decades now, I've watched my friends one by one be killed off, either through the conditions that society put us through or, you know, nothing natural about being murdered. There is nothing mm-hmm. natural about what happens to us when we yet are still homeless, when we yet can't get a job. When going to school for us is a task because the school is not trained properly.
Mm. Well, you know what? You could have been a statistic, and you've chosen not to become one, and I think that is so empowering. You spent time behind bars and used that time to write a cookbook, Cooking in Heels, and now you're working on your second book titled Falling into the Fire. Where did you draw that power? Where did that come from for you where you decided, hey, was there a moment where you're like, I'm not going to be a statistic, I'm going to pay it forward and help change lives?
It came from a lot of bad relationships, personal and friends as well. It came from inner pain, and it came from not wanting anybody else to live what I live.
Mm.
I had to face a lot of stuff and grow up really quick because of my gender identity. I blame no one for the stuff that I went through, including the 30 days in jail. But definitely going to jail changed my whole life.
Mm. Wow.
It's incredible how it turns around, yeah.
Well, you think going to jail for months and years is hard. I went to jail for 30 days, and it changed me. I never want to go back.
Yeah.
Never want to see. Go back to visit people, yes.
But not for yourself.
Be in the system, no. Definitely
you know,
not.
I think, though, a lot of times, and within the trans community, and please do correct me if I'm wrong, I think that the trans community is not offered, like you said, with jobs and with proper teaching and then an ability to have a home. And sometimes they have to find themselves in jail, which is even more comforting because at least they're not out on the streets. At least they're getting something to eat, which is such a terrible way to have to live. I know that you address that. I know that you also address stable housing and deepening the cycle of disenfranchisement. But what else should people know about what you do and how can people help?
Jail is not the answer, especially for a trans woman. The natural course of a day in jail for a trans woman is fighting for her life.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the way it is. The COs are not going to fight for her. I got a phone call yesterday from a young lady that was jumped by 7 men. She was taken out of isolation because she had a dispute with someone in the female housing where she was housed and put back in population the men. Was jumped by 7 men, and all 7 men have been charged with a hate crime, but yet she's still in population.
Wow. Listen, I think you're an absolute superhero. I can't even imagine, you know, as a white, cis, gay man, I thought I had issues growing up. And I think for many of us who maybe didn't have friends or family members in the trans community, as we now expand our horizons and our awareness and by having conversations like this with fantastic, incredible humans like yourself, hopefully Transgender Visibility Week will continue to grow and grow and grow. What is your hope for what's next for your community in particular?
That we have Trans Visibility Year, that equity is actually used on my community, that some of the privilege in this world, give up some of that privilege, save a life, donate a scholarship to a trans woman so she can go to school and live her best life.
I think that's
all
amazing.
All dreams are possible with help.
Oh, that is so good. And also, listen, Joe Biden, for the first time ever in a presidential acceptance speech a couple weeks ago or last week, mentioned the transgender community. Did you feel that? Was that important to you? Did that matter?
That mattered a lot, considering it was the night of the grand opening.
What a moment.
You know, it's troubling, though, and I want to talk about this quickly because I do think, you know, we do have a lot of LGBTQ listeners. There's still a lot of transphobia within our own community, and we can talk many reasons about why we think that is, but how do we end even the transphobia within our community?
We changed the name of some organization. Gay Men's Health Crisis should have never been named Gay Men's Health Crisis, but at the beginning of that pandemic, the world was just worried about white gay men. Mm-hmm. Forgot about trans women altogether, no less trans women of color. All of these places that are created to not harm people have harmed trans community. There are tons of LGBT community spaces in New York City. How many of them actually hire or employ trans women, black trans women? How many of them don't tokenize trans women for their color, not their position or their brain, just to have that number in? If we're going to change this thing that we've been looking at for so many years, which is the systemic discrimination, we're going to have to address these very issues in a good approach. Cursing people out is never the answer, but maybe figuring out how to embrace the community you've always forgot is the start.
That is so
but
beautiful.
Also, I will curse them out if you want me to, because I love a good read, honey. And I'm still working on my temperament.
Girl, I'm in therapy right now.
Listen, I'm trying. It's not helping. I've tried it all. I want to push people to the website, www.glitsinc.org. Kaya Ndorsha, the executive director and founder of Glitz, we appreciate you so much for joining us. Is there anything else that you'd like to leave our listeners with to think about this week, this year, and for the rest of our lives?
Inspire yourself to inspire others.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Thank you so much.
Thank you
Stay
so much,
safe.
Kayan.
Thank you. Have a beautiful day.
You too. All the ex-BFFs are spilling tea on the Trumps. This time it's Ivanka's college BFF, and we have the details on why she dropped Ivanka after her wedding. We're back in 2 minutes.
Welcome back to the Morning Beat. We want to thank you for hanging out with us each and every day and always supporting us. We did have a bit of a technical difficulty just a moment ago. You may have noticed we are in the midst of an interview with somebody who's doing something really fantastic out in Queens, New York, Kaya Ndorsha. She's a member of the trans community. They just opened their first ever trans housing in Queens. Fully opened, run, and operated by the trans community for the trans community, specifically trans women of color. We feel so, so bad that you didn't get to listen to it. We're going to replay that for you,
Absolutely.
Though.
Absolutely.
So stick around. Justin, when are we going to replay that?
8:35.
Cool. So awesome. In 1 hour from right now, you'll have a chance to listen to that interview because it is important.
Well, something that she touches upon that we often don't talk about with it being Trans Awareness Week is that a lot of trans people find themselves doing sex work because nobody will hire them. It's not that they don't want to work. It's that they're not looked upon fairly. Most of the time, it is women of color, trans women of color. And not only does she normalize sex work the way that it should be, but she also offers and Glitz offers the proper protection that they also need, the proper testing.
Well,
it's really important.
She also talked about what it felt like to hear Joe Biden specifically mention the transgender community during his acceptance speech, you know, last week and on the same day that they opened their housing.
Huge.
It was a pretty monumental moment for the community and for all of us. You know, the T is a vital, vital, vital member of our community, the T and the LGBTQ.
And
sometimes
listen, there's
forget
a lot of transphobia within our own community.
Absolutely,
so I'm excited to talk about that too.
So come back in 1 hour. We are so apologetic for that mishap, but we will have that for you in the next hour. Right now, though, we're talking about Ivanka Trump. her former best friend spilled a whole lot of tea in a gossipy new essay. So Ivanka, there have been a lot of rumors about her over the years. She seems to have sort of sold her soul to the devil.
Well, the biggest one is that she's lesbian.
Well, that's out there. Okay, that's alleged.
And I'm into it, so.
So Lysandra Ostrom was best friends with the soon-to-be ex-White House senior advisor growing up. That is so shady. They met at Chapin. It's an all-girls school in Manhattan's Upper East Side. Remained close throughout their teens into their 20s. And she said that, speaking of Ivanka, she said she was shamelessly vain, loved to talk about herself, but she was also fun, loyal, and pretty exciting. Now, according to her friend, Ivanka, though, is about as awful as you might think in real life. She wrote about the first time that the daughter allegedly turned up her nose at a necklace that had Arabic writing saying it just screams, quote, terrorist.
Oy. But so, also, this is Donald Trump's daughter, so.
But you got to think about that. You got to think early on, especially even before the pandemic, anything was going on. There's a Muslim man, right, called highly racist. And the way he refers to people from the Middle East, very differently than he refers to people from, say, Western Europe.
Yeah.
Or white countries around the world. It makes sense that maybe this would seep down into Ivanka's psyche, and that's how she believes because of her father, which is really interesting, though, because she is married to Jared Kushner, who is Jewish,
yeah,
Middle Eastern descent, and to have these sort of views.
I mean, maybe she's aged out of it, but the things that she said were so gross. She also said, why would I ever read a book about effing poor people when it came to the best-selling novel Empire Falls? She told her at one point she didn't have time for this BS when it came to their friendship.
She says that after she married Jared Kushner, she's had zero interest in being friends with her after 2009.
Yeah. Well, this is funny because Melania Trump just got outed by her ex-BFF. We heard the audio where she said, F Christmas. Now it's Ivanka. I think that everybody is just ready for them to get out of the house in January. It bothers me, though, about Ivanka because I kind of liked her.
Well, she goes on to say, she goes, I've been a good WASP. White Anglo-Saxon Protestant, if you know what that means, and kept quiet until now, even as I've grown increasingly repulsed by Ivanka's ability to aid and abet her father. But now she's speaking out. She says, still, I miss my old friend. I mean, that's the sad part, is that they were actually really good friends.
Well, they went to high school together. I mean, she was talking about how they were listening to Nirvana in their Catholic school uniforms with their docks on. I mean, they went through a grunge phase together, which, quite honestly, I could not see Ivanka doing ever.
Could you see her in goth? Could you see it?
No.
Like the black nails, black lipstick.
I could see
lipstick.
Her maybe in, what's the movie?
Clueless playing Dion, maybe, and a little bit of plaid.
Yeah, or The Craft.
Yes, I could see that.
All right, you guys. Well, coming up, Naya Revere's 5-year-old son has filed a lawsuit with the help of his father. Find out all the details coming up in 2 minutes. It's What's Poppin'.
Welcome back to the Morning Beat. We have another What's Poppin' for you brought to you by California Psychics in just a moment. But before I let Michaela take it away, I want to remind you our show gets turned into a podcast every day after we get off the air. So if you can't listen to us live, listen to us at your convenience, wherever you take your mobile device. Download the radio.com app. Listen to the Morning Beat, please and thank you. Now, Michaela Gordon, this story is so sad, but it's making news once again. What's popping?
So Naya Revere's ex-husband and estate have filed a wrongful death lawsuit Monday in the wake of the actress's death. Now, we know that Naya died in July, and it was devastating after she and her 5-year-old son, Josie Dorsey, rented a pontoon boat on Lake Piro in Southern California. The two decided to jump into the water for a swim, and unfortunately, she never came up. It was said that she used the last of her strength to help her son onto the boat, but the wrongful death suit now claims that Revere drowned because the boat she rented lacked adequate safety equipment and there were no signs or warnings of the dangerous conditions on the lake. Ryan Dorsey, who is Naya's ex-husband and Josie's father, along with lawyers representing the Glee actress's estate, are seeking a jury trial against Ventura County, the Parks Management Company, and United Water Conservation District. I think they may win. I think that this is good. Good for Josie, the little boy. Good for the family. Because you got to have some kind of warning. Also, you know, we were in a pandemic and every precaution needs to be taken. Every single thing.
I guess I still don't understand either how you can allow a single person, a young mother at that, to take out their child who can't swim on a boat alone. I feel like there should be sort of like, I feel like you should have two adults always. We never went out on the boat as kids without two adults always, especially if something we were going to be getting in the water anyway. Mm-hmm. So if something goes wrong with one adult, you need the other adult to be there. And I feel like that, I think I assumed that was standard protocol. So yeah. To allow somebody to rent a boat with their child and nobody else, just it's odd to me.
I feel like that should be a new rule. I really do. I think that it has to be more than one adult.
Maybe it could be out of this. It'll cause good change. I don't know.
Well, it was very devastating, so we'll continue keeping you updated. This was brought to you, this What's Poppin', by California Psychics. Want to know your future? Talk to California Psychics. They thoroughly test their psychics to make sure they have real gifts. Take the California Psychics Challenge. If your psychic reading is the best you've ever had, it is free. Visit CaliforniaPsychics.com or download the app. That's California Psychics. Now, coming up in our next hour, she's strutting in her cha-cha heels. It's Nina West, and she's joining us to talk about her new Christmas EP and how her mental health is doing as we round the holidays. Coming up next.
Welcome back to The Morning Beat. We have a great hour coming up for you. In just a little bit, about 15 minutes from right now, we're joined by former, but always, Miss Congeniality, Nina West.
Oh, yeah.
Doing something really fun for the holidays that you can get in on. Spread some holiday cheer with her cha-cha heels. She's on here on The Morning Beat. And we also want to remind you that tomorrow on The Morning Beat, we've got Jonathan Bennett joining us. He is in the first ever Hallmark Christmas film to be led by a same-sex couple. He's half of that couple, and he is joining The Morning Beat tomorrow morning.
We love to see it, honey.
It premieres Sunday night, November 22nd, this coming Sunday on Hallmark Channel at 8 p.m. So we're super excited to have him on the show tomorrow. So make sure you tune in for that. He's a dear friend of mine. We've been friends since high school. He actually outed me. He pulled me out of the closet when I was a teenager.
He was being a bad boy.
I adore him. I'm so proud of him. Can't wait to talk to him. So make sure you tune in for that.
Do you want me to drag him or no?
No.
Okay.
I want you to give news on the beat.
Fine.
That's your job.
Fine.
Do that.
Well, a close friend of mine who's on television, looks like Daniel Levy's year just keeps getting better.
Oh, is he a close friend of yours?
Never mind. After a tear-inducing final season of his show Schitt's Creek and a history-making night at the Emmy Awards, Levy has logged another personal first with the upcoming issue. The Schitt's Creek creator is making his debut on People Magazine's Sexiest Man Alive list. This form of sexy is a niche market. The actor, who has a role in the upcoming holiday film Happiest Season, said in the issue, and we are completely into that niche. Take a listen to Dan in the trailer of Happiest Season.
I just woke up thinking about going home with you and got very excited about Christmas. I get to go meet the people that made my favorite person.
I'll always take December way over summer.
Abby, you and Harper have a perfect relationship.
She is my person, and I really want everyone to know that. I want to marry her.
What are you doing on your phone?
I left a gentleman alone in my apartment, so I'm tracking him to make sure he leaves.
You're tracking him?
Yeah, I track everybody. If the NSA can do it, so can I.
No, on Instagram, Levy admitted that he oiled his legs up for the shoot, which features him doing things that he's been doing in quarantine, like taking out the trash, walking his dog, and baking. According to the star, he's tried sourdough bread, banana bread, and various types of cookies, none of which came out the way he intended. All it did for me was remind me myself that I should be saving my money and putting it towards ordering food so that someone can do it for me. That's that all the time.
Great advice.
Now, given his ABC deal, it was a reported 8 figures. He probably has a bit to put away. 8 figures.
Yeah, he doesn't need to make his own sourdough bread. I also never got into the baking thing, and I love to bake, but I never did it early pandemic.
I never got into anything pre-pandemic, during pandemic.
You got into a box of Cheez-Its, and now you're into a pair of sweatpants.
Yeah, I wore these yesterday.
That's what you got into 2 days in a row.
Now I have my Uggs on.
So, wow.
I'm a wild woman.
You and Dan Levy. 2 peas in the pod.
Try to stop me. Can't. I'm too fast.
He's very hot. I have met him. I talked to him last year at the American Music Awards, I believe. He's a good-looking guy.
Yeah, he's so handsome. But did we know of him before Schitt's Creek? Or that was his,
no,
like...
No, I mean, unless you paid attention to
MTV Canada.
Yeah, unless you paid attention. Or Eugene Levy, you knew about
him. That's wild. Yeah, but of Dan course, was, Eugene, of course.
Dan was not on my radar.
Justin, how old was Dan when he started Schitt's Creek? I mean, Google it. I don't mean you should know that at the top of your head. I mean,
You expect of our producer sometimes live on the air.
You know, I say it out loud, meaning to say.
Earlier this morning, you're like, play that song that I love.
Well, did he not have it?
And just look, he got it. Well, I stalled for you like I'm doing right now.
Okay, well, you find that because I'm so interested to know. Let's finish up. Oh, yeah, go.
We 32.
He was 32?
Okay.
Okay.
Kayla's 32 now.
I'm 32, and there's a show called All Inclusive. Okay, after 4 days of public outcry, Florida authorities released a 56-second dash cam video of a deadly encounter with a sheriff's deputy that left two black teens dead in the coastal city of Cocoa. The video offers a glimpse of what happened after deputies attempted to pull them over last week during what the sheriff described as an investigation into a possible stolen vehicle. Before the release of a video, authorities had provided few details about the deaths of the two young men identified as Sincere Pierce, 18, and Angelo Crooms, 16. Now, the deaths occurred as the nation grapples with protests following the police killings of several African Americans, including George Floyd in Minneapolis and Breonna Taylor in Kentucky. Just devastating. Mm. All right, let's get into a little weather. It's going to be a high of 86 in Phoenix, 48 in Seattle, 61 in Atlanta, and 54 in Baltimore. Now, hit us with a vibe of the day.
Volunteers do not necessarily have the time, they just have the heart.
All we need is a little bit of heart, just a little bit.
Yeah, and then give your time.
Yeah. All right, Jay's coming up, debuting her new music video from her holiday EP. Nina West joins us to talk about Cha-Cha Heels and how she's doing when it comes to her own personal mental health. We're back in 2 minutes.
Welcome back to The Morning Beat. We're so excited to welcome our next guest. She's one of our dear, dear friends here on The Morning Beat and here at Channel Q. Nina West, thank you so much for joining us once again.
Hi, Beaut.
Good morning. Hi, how are you guys doing?
Good, good. So I feel like every time there's a holiday, you have something bigger and better planned
oh
for
my
us.
Oh my God, you are the spirit of the holidays.
You are the ghost of Christmas past, present, and future in my book.
And mama.
Mama.
Halloween.
I love it. Well, yes.
Halloween.
Congrats on your Halloween. Foray into like the virtual Halloween space and doing your wonderful show this year virtually, which is really awesome. Now you're doing something for Christmas. You've got a new video for your song Cha-Cha Heels from your EP The West Christmas Ever, which is such a good play on words, Ms. Nina West.
Oh, amazing.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much.
It's coming out today, Thursday, November 19th. This is super exciting. What can you tell us about it?
Okay, so I wanted to like piggyback off of the success of my single last year, which was Jingle Juice, and really hammer home holiday fun. And I think we need it more than ever this year, right? Because mm-hmm. we're finding ourselves in lockdown again, isolation and quarantine, wherever you are around the country. And so I wanted to release a song that kind of celebrated that flair and that fun and that ridiculousness. So it's Cha-Cha Heels, which is basically a celebration of everything John Waters, starting with Female Trouble, and into Serial Mom and then Hairspray. So that's what the video does. It's just a lot of fun.
So good.
I think you're so amazing. Where do you keep finding the inspiration to do these? Because you have stayed so present. No pun intended, present. but it's been... you're our present. You're a gift. But it's been so difficult and you've really just been so fun and spirited throughout this whole thing. But where's your inspiration coming from?
I think part of it is that I don't want to stop. I'm so afraid that if I stop, I'm going to lose it or lose something, right? Mm-hmm. The creativity or the inspiration or the drive. Like, this has been a challenging time, I think, for everybody. And it's really hard for artists. And it's hard for us to, I think, find the motivation and keep going. And so for me, it's I write everything down. I pay attention to everything. I listen to everything. I'm trying to stay in touch with my friends and my family and just really be connected, because I feel like if I drop the ball somewhere, I'm going to lose that contact or that connection in another really important part of my life. And so we're all going through this differently. And this has been particularly challenging for me. And I think the way that I've been coping is just by staying busy. I think that's been my coping mechanism during this COVID pandemic.
I feel the same way. I feel like that's the only thing that's keeping me going, and it's also saving my mental health. I know that when I get creative and write, that's really good. What advice do you have for people that are maybe suffering with their mental health?
That's actually pretty incredible that you bring that up, Michaela. Thanks for that. This is a really important time of the year for people to, especially during COVID, to really check in with themselves and have an honest conversation with themselves. That sometimes is not easy, but to be honest with yourself about your mental health. There are people out there who are willing to listen to you. There are people out there who are willing to talk to you, and you are not alone. And I know that during this time period, it feels super isolating. I myself am single. I live alone. It's just me and my two dogs. And so I really require checking in with other people. I really require talking to other people and talking to a therapist and talking to a mental health professional. I think those are part of my routine, and I think it's there's no shame a part of that or bringing that into your daily routine or your weekly routine or your bi-weekly routine. I think it's so important for people to have access to mental health and having conversations with themselves and with other people about the importance of their mental health, especially during the holiday season.
Well, I could not agree more. And if you're listening for the first time, Nina is the first drag queen I've ever we've known each other for many years. First drag queen I ever saw perform years ago. I'm from Columbus, Ohio, which is where you are now.
I'm so sorry to start you.
Oh, no, honey. You started that love affair for me that continues to this day. So thank you for that. I want to know, because I have my sort of reasons, but I'm kind of curious to know why the holidays are so special to you, because there really is something about growing up in the Midwest and this love affair with Christmas.
You know, I think as queer people, LGBTQIA plus people, I think we are attracted to certain things that give us this idea of an idealized life, right? And so in the Midwest, when you're kind of surrounded by all of these, like, I grew up in Canton, Ohio, and I moved to Columbus, but I grew up in Canton where the Football Hall of Fame is. So it's like there's masculinity everywhere. But then I was kind of the salvation with my grandma, who allowed me to help put up her Christmas tree every year. Mm. And I fell in love with the pomp and circumstance and the decorum that went with the holiday season. It was tradition, and it was something that I could count on, even though everything in my life seemed to feel upside down, and everything in my life seemed to feel, out of control. There was this one time of year, be it Thanksgiving into the holiday season, that I could control, and I could celebrate, and I could decorate, and I could have this escape.
Mm. Well, I want to talk to you about the best Christmas ever, the best EP.
So good, so good.
And I want to introduce, the video is on our website at weirdchannelq.com for your single Cha-Cha Heels, but let's take a little listen to your single Cha-Cha Heels.
You know what to get me.
Cute.
Nina, we want to thank you as always for just putting,
I love you guys. Thank
putting out
you.
So much joy. And I also personally, on a personal level, just want to thank you for articulating. I didn't realize I felt exactly that way about the holidays in the Midwest, but the way you kind of expressed it and brought your grandmother into that story, I know that Michaela and I can both relate to that. So just thank you for sharing that with us today.
Thank you, Nina. We love you.
I love you guys very much. Have the best holiday season, and please take care of yourselves. And everyone listening, please, please, please mask up.
Yes,
absolutely.
Yes, yes.
Well, take us out, Cha-Cha Heels. Here we go.
Let's Cha-Cha it out.
Yes. Welcome back to The Morning Beat. Now it's time for Therapy Thursday, brought to you by OC Healthcare Agency Suicide Prevention at helpishereoc.com. Here to help us make sense of this wild year and all of our wild, wild emotions is marriage and family therapist James Gay. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much, James.
You're very welcome. Happy to be here.
So today we're talking about seasonal depression and how it can be amplified by a lot of stuff going on right now, not just this COVID pandemic, but how it has impacted our plans for the holidays. Many of us aren't getting to see our families. I just canceled my family Christmas 2 days ago. Our family's not taking it well. What are you seeing with your clients right now, and what do we need to know to keep our mental health stable this time of year?
Oof, there is so much happening for all of us, right? It's really like a quadruple whammy. Not only do we have seasonal affective disorder, something that affects at least 66 million U.S. Americans in terms of feeling more depression based on limited light, you know, less daylight and colder weather. But we also have the pandemic stress disorder, sort of, you know, COVID-related fatigue, mental health concerns. We have election stress-related stuff, and we have the holiday blues. So it's sort of like this exponential thing that's happening for all of us, or many of us, most of us, right? So, you know, I think the first thing is to recognize that we're not alone in this, in the sense that we're all experiencing distinct limitations on our ability to not only, you know, enjoy the holidays if we normally do or together time, but also to treat the symptoms that are there, because a huge aspect of that is being in social contact with other people to be able to cope with the depressive sort of state of the world and the weather and everything else that's going on.
Well, I love that you talk about that, but to touch on social contact, many people are not going to be with their families this holiday season. In fact, many will be alone, particularly if they're not even in a relationship. What advice do you have for them? They're probably battling a little bit of depression and loneliness, and now they don't have their family to lean on.
Yeah, it's really, you know, it's sort of that distinction early on in this pandemic between physical distancing versus social distancing. While we need to create some care for ourselves and distance from others physically that aren't within our household, we also need to remain in social contact in whatever ways that makes sense. I mean, I get that Zoom fatigue is real and we're frustrated and we want to be able to see and touch and hug, you know, the people that we care about. But even, you know, a phone call, even texting, even webcam, you know, therapy or, you know, contact with friends and family can be absolutely important. So I know a lot of people are, you know, cooking a meal and doing their, you know, Zoom sort of dinner gathering, you know, virtually. And, you know, it's not ideal. It's not great, but it is something. And so we need to make sure that we're still reaching out, even when we're feeling, you know, maybe fatigued and depressed, when we're less likely to actually connect with other people.
Speaking of fatigued and depressed, I went through it a couple of weeks ago, and I realized, I think it was the time change. All of a sudden, it's dark so early, and I started to get really sad, and I was really tired. I started taking vitamin D supplements because I was not getting as much sun, and that actually helped me. I also started going to bed a little bit sooner, just really taking care of my mental health. Another thing that's really a strain on people, and I think at times we can all relate to this, is navigating relationships at work. So many of us are working in different situations than we ever have. Many of us are working from home, and it's easy to feel overwhelmed and underappreciated. You know, we said this early in the pandemic, and I'll say it again. There's this idea that we're working from home during a pandemic, when in actuality, we're all trying to survive a pandemic and get work done. That's actually what's happening. So as we come into the holiday season, this is usually a time where many of us feel like we kind of hang on till the holidays, then we get a little bit of time off and we can reset for the new year. If you've got a boss or a situation at work that's not allowing you to do that and you're feeling stressed, what advice would you give from both perspectives, as the employee who might be feeling stressed, but as the boss who's also feeling stressed and maybe sort of putting that out into the work environment?
Yeah, there are way too many instances where we're expected to be on call 24/7 and working through weekends and not getting enough time off. It actually lowers our productivity and efficiency. So, you know, for the bosses out there, it's like the more that you can support your employees' physical, emotional, psychological health and well-being, the better it is that they'll be able to perform the tasks that you have for them. So this includes being able to take breaks from work and get outside, especially during this time. We need more daylight. If the weather isn't permissive for that, there is light therapy. These are 10,000 lux light boxes that you are in front of for 30 to 90 minutes, usually at the beginning of the day, sometimes throughout, that are really inexpensive. They're like $30, $40. There's just, you know, you can move your desk closer to the window to get exposure to sunlight. Like you said, vitamin D helps some people, not others, the research shows. You know, there's just a variety of different things. And we need to come back to the four basic elements, right? Daily exercise, nutrition, adequate sleep, and social support, even if that's via webcam or our technological devices. And of course, I mean, I'm a therapist, I'm biased, but for some extra support, you know, having a therapist, most therapists are online now. So it is really within reach in a lot of different ways.
Well, such great advice.
James Gay, we appreciate you so much. And we always look forward to talking with you for Therapy Thursdays. Now, coming up from Bravo's Sheer Genius, Kim Vo joins us to discuss his salon surviving the pandemic and giving us some holiday at-home hair tips. We're back in 2 minutes.
Welcome back to the Morning Beat. Now, you fell in love with our next guest as the breakout star of Sheer Genius. Kim Vo is on the line. Thank you so much for being here. This is our first.
Oh my gosh.
This is our first time chatting, so I'm super excited. And Michaela's a big fan of yours.
Of course.
But you're a bit of a hair guru, especially as a colorist. You've done things and you've worked with some major celebrities over the years, including Britney Spears.
Oh,
I read somewhere, which is kind
Kate
of
Hudson,
amazing,
one of my
kind of awesome. But I want to know.
I've been through all of her turmoils and all of her fun and come back to everything. Yes,
you had to have cried inside when she shaved her head because that was a long
oh
journey
gosh,
back.
Oh my gosh, you don't even know. I that is a whole other show that I did. I was like, what? Absolutely. But we helped her after that. So it was great.
I love that.
Well, listen, you found a way of surviving some pretty wild things too, including this pandemic. You're doing something really fantastic with your salon here in West Hollywood. And I'm kind of curious to know your thoughts on how other salons might be able to replicate your success across the country.
You know, what's been great about our salon and the California, Southern California weather is we were able to open outside. And we bought these huge patio umbrellas, and we made almost like a home away from home. I think people are just dying to get out, but they want to do it safely. So we actually made, social distance stations, across a little bit from each other. And we put a lot of things outside with umbrellas if it got too hot. We've got heat lamps if, it gets too cold. And we really made it a very special place, bringing the inside, of the salon outside. And we just put little touches of it. We just didn't make it look like a bare, barren salon. Mm. We put flowers and things that you would normally put like you would in a salon or at home.
It is really so beautiful. I've seen it myself and I love it. But I want to know, do you have any horror stories of any of your clients trying to do their own hair during the pandemic and you having to fix it?
Honestly, yes. And honestly, some
and it was
are
me.
So faithful. This is my polite way. Some of them are so faithful that they've decided to go all natural and just let it grow out. And so a lot of the stuff we've been doing is more or less a color correction, meaning they've let their roots grow out for 7 months and just like come in and they show me a picture of a Nordic blonde and they're like, this is what I want. And you're like, girl, you've got dark hair. It's like, this is going to take a minute. Some beautifully, and I honestly am not at home color hater. I love it when people have the challenge and the courage to do it and do it right. I just think it's really tricky in the back. I think they get the front right. And the horror story that I would say would be in the back, they kind of forget. It's almost like a color mullet where it's all party in the front and they love it. And then in the back, there's like this huge gaping dark color that if the wind blows, you're like, whoa.
Oh my God. I just love the visual of the mullet. Because I will tell you, earlier on in this pandemic, my partner and I, my partner's black, I'm white. Well, we had to learn to cut each other's hair. And cutting black hair is very different than cutting your own hair. I had to learn to give him a fade. I was a little bit better at it. He did mine once. I never let him touch it again. So if there is a silver lining, have you found that people are realizing how important what hairstylists actually do on a daily basis is? Because not having something for a few months kind of reminds you, like,
awful. I was ugly.
Yeah. Have you realized that at all? Have your clients realized that?
We have absolutely learned that. And not only that, I think people were in denial, like I was. I thought, oh, this won't last that long. So we, let our hair grow out a little bit. We're like, oh, we're not really seeing anybody. And then Zoom hit. And all these meetings hit, and everyone wanted to see you. And although you're not wearing pants, you're literally facing people and going, oh my gosh, do I really look like that? And I think that's what really hit, where you're like, I've got to look normal. I've got to look like I normally look. And I think that's what happened. We were all caught off. We thought, oh, we'll make it through. But yes, when people actually started seeing one another, and especially online, which you don't look great at sometimes anyways, it threw a lot of people off. And when we were able to open, we had a lot of panic calls.
Oh, yeah.
Much more than you'd ever think in your life.
Well, we're on the phone with Kim Vo, LGBTQ icon and celebrity hairstylist. Before we let you go, we have 1 minute. Can you give us two quick tips for some holiday hairstyling tips for people who may not be totally ready to come into the salon yet?
A great tip is, braids are still in. And if you and you can do them yourself, you can style your hair. But if you put a nice little braid, learn how to do it. There's many things, tutorials online, and just add that little very casual but chic. You put yourself together. You can look very fun and chic with a really French braid or something that you can wrap up in a bun and then later on let loose and have curls. And the second thing is there's lovely products in the stores that you can buy offline for Color Roots, that spray Color Roots. And they blend the roots and they make you just feel beautiful. You know, they wash out, it's a daily, you know, they wash out the next wash. But it just makes you feel that extra sense of confidence on judgy eyes that, you know, friends or family may have if you have a little bit of roots.
Oh, Kim, we appreciate you so much. Congratulations, truly, on all of your success. Thank you for making us all feel so beautiful inside and out. And we look forward to seeing you in person when this is all over.
Yes. Thank you so much, guys. Have a wonderful day.
A bald possum is all the rage and getting his own clothing line thanks to concerned citizens giving Fenty a run for the money in Tell Me Something Good. We're back in 2 minutes.
Coming up this hour on The Morning Beat, it is Therapy Thursdays. We're joined again by marriage and family therapist James Gay talking about seasonal depression and how to navigate working through a pandemic. We're 8 or 9 months into this thing right now. The holidays are right around the corner. People are canceling holiday plans. I know I just did. It's a lot to process emotionally. James Gay is here to help us. He really is like Superman.
Yeah,
so incredibly
he's
talented.
The best.
Also want to remind our listeners that we've got Kim Vo, celebrity hairstylist, on the program this hour as well. What an icon here in West Hollywood, but doing things in his salon that can be replicated across the country to keep salon owners in business through the pandemic. And then on tomorrow's show, this is a big one, we've got Jonathan Bennett on the program. He's co-starring in The Christmas House. It's Hallmark Channel. It's part of their Hallmark Channel's lineup of Christmas films this year. You know, they have a whole bunch of them come out every single year. The first one in history with a lead storyline of LGBTQ plus characters, two gay men leading this.
We love to see
it. And so he's on our program. The film debuts on Sunday night. He'll be on our program tomorrow morning. Also, Isis King. Wrapping up Transgender Visibility Week. We've got Isis King, the first ever trans model on America's Next Top Model. She's absolutely stunning. Mm-hmm. Can't wait to share her with you tomorrow. So you have a great week ahead. I know it's Thursday, but we've got a lot jam-packed into these last couple of days for our listeners, which includes some news on the beat, Michaela Gordon, a sombering news coming from the COVID front today. What do you have for us?
Well, here's what's going on, you guys. We love to have a lot of fun, and we love to always bring you the best, but sometimes it's not so great. And I'm so sad to report that in less than 10 months, coronavirus has killed more than 250,000 people in the United States. That's more than strokes, suicides, and car crashes typically do in a full year combined. Medical staff are overwhelmed with record hospitalizations. Governors are rushing to issue restrictions on gatherings, and deaths are averaging the highest in months. Infections are mounting in major cities, a major setback after a spring spent battling the ravaging virus nationwide. The Texas border city of El Paso is paying inmates $2 an hour to help the medical examiner's office move bodies of coronavirus victims. New York City's school system, the largest in the country with over 1 million students, is closing and transitioning students to remote learning. Health experts are warning that if Americans don't get more serious about wearing masks and avoiding careless socializing, the rate of deaths will increase. And we know and just want to reach out to all of our listeners who have experienced COVID themselves or somebody that they love, that we wish you all of the love and support and good healing wishes. Yeah,
my niece Ashley is in Kentucky, and she is a first-time mother, just had a baby this year, less than a year old. Her daughter Chelsea is adorable, and she was just diagnosed with COVID. Or tested positive for COVID yesterday. She's been really, really sick. She has to miss Thanksgiving. She can't spend the holidays with her family now. It's just, it really is devastating. So send me so much love.
And I know it's the holiday season. We'll go in more depth with James Gay. But if you're alone this holiday season, you're not. We are with you. You can listen to us on podcast. We'll keep you laughing. We'll keep you informed. And we'll keep getting you deals, honey. Because one thing that we always like to talk about is California psychics. If you're feeling any type of pain or need some, you know, financial advice or a little bit of security. I lost my grandma in April, and I was able to call upon California psychics. An incredible experience for me. Maybe it's time to just make the connection. And if it's not the best psychic reading you've ever had, it is free. So visit thecaliforniapsychics.com or download the free California Psychics app and set up an account today. Again, my experience was amazing. So.
And also, have nothing nothing else other than peace of mind. It makes it worth
it. Yeah, you know? Yeah. It's a strange time. It's just very weird. And so sometimes it's good to do what others may deem as strange. What's good for you? And it was good for me. And I want it to be good for you. Now let's get into a little weather. It's a high of 63 in Chicago, a high of 61 in Cleveland, 68 in St. Louis, and 61 in Pittsburgh. Now give us a vibe of the day.
Volunteers do not necessarily have the time. They just have the heart.
Yeah,
got enough heart, you can make time for anything.
That's all you need. All right, you guys, well, coming up this final hour, James Gay is joining us to discuss seasonal depression and how it deeply affects you or someone that you love and how to deal with it. We're back in 2 minutes.
Tell me something good.
It's time to do just that. A lot of scary news going on in the world. And obviously, we're very, very aware of that. And we're keeping you all in our thoughts and prayers. Stay safe, you know, wear a mask, look out for one another. But this segment, we like to keep it light. We like to wrap up our show every single day by telling you a few good things that you can hold on to so you can have some hope in your heart. So when a huge storm hit Iowa in August, a 12-year-old by the name of Tommy Romberg, he wanted to help out his community. So he got creative about how he was going to do so. He took the fallen tree limbs, right? If you've ever lived through a major storm, I've lived through a lot of tornadoes back in Ohio, Tornado Alley, trees everywhere. They usually destroy them, chop them up, make mulch or something out of them. He decided to make baseball bats out of them. How cool is this? He has his own woodworking station in his garage. He made baseball bats, and then he started selling them and donated the proceeds. CBS News just did a bit on him, and he calls the bats the Great Derecho, also known as Land Hurricane. I thought derecho was to the left. I thought that's what that meant. But it means Land Hurricane. And so far, he's made 115 bats and has been able to donate $2,500 to those in need because of the pandemic.
That's how amazing.
Cool is that? Like, I just don't understand, first and foremost, how a 12-year-old has that thought.
Angel.
Like, I'm going to go collect these limbs from these trees from this storm and make baseball bats, sell them, and donate the money.
It's incredible.
It's incredible.
All right, well, this story is so sweet. This little opossum has alopecia, which is an autoimmune disorder that causes the immune system to attack hair follicles. People were pretty upset about it because he's only 3 months old. He's from Texas. And so, you know, I had to do it because I love him so much. people went out of their way to drop off knitted sweaters.
Oh, for the possum?
For the opossum. They thought it was a hairless cat at first, and then they realized it's just a hairless opossum. He's living in Texas, and now he's going to be able to stay warm. And I think he's got a better winter wardrobe than I do, and I'm a little gel.
Well, I'll tell you this. So our delivery workers have been working overtime this entire pandemic. You know, UPS drivers, FedEx drivers, Amazon drivers.
Yeah.
Well, a couple of FedEx drivers happened to pull up next to each other on a delivery, and they shot a video that's gone viral. This was filmed by Kayla Prosser. It shows her fellow driver, Andy Johnston, sitting at the wheel of his van next to her, dancing along to Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas.
It
is so adorable. If you need something to put you into the holiday spirit or just to lift your spirits today, head over to wearechannelq.com. This video is on our website. This guy is all tatted up. He's got big gauge earrings in, a big beard, and he is going wild.
It's amazing.
Wild in this FedEx truck.
All right, we'll head on over to our website, of course. We have a great show for you. Tomorrow we have Jonathan Bennett talking about a new film, The Christmas House. Bring visibility, much needed.
Yeah, the first LGBTQ couple showcased in a holiday film by Hallmark. This
Absolutely.
Is a big deal. It comes out this Sunday.
A really big deal. And then we have Isis King.
She's stunning.
Stunning and perfection, and she is closing out our week. But always, we're always aware
well, as
of
we continue
transgender
Awareness Week.
Absolutely.
So important. And thank you to all of our guests today as well for coming on the show. Nina West, always such a pleasure.
Amazing.
Of course.
All right. Well, we'll see you tomorrow. Wash your hands, wear your masks. Take care.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.